Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We're continuing on a little mini-series looking at Psalm 23, and I'm joined by two special guests and friends. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose Abaroa. Jose, welcome back.
Good morning,
to the
Taylor.
Podcast. Good to be here. I know it's only week two, but it still feels great to have you back. So good
feels
to have
good
you
to
here.
Be back.
And we're joined by pastor of spiritual formation, the one, the only, Bob Moss. Bob, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Well, Jose, we kind of knew where this was going because we had looked last week at the first three verses of Psalm 23, and then we're looking at verses 4-6. So normally I ask you what led you to pick the topic, but we kind of know where this was headed. But kind of what did you feel like God showed you in the prep leading up to just this second half of the chapter?
Yeah. Normally, this verse or this chapter is split up into two sections, and one has to do with God as shepherd, and the other God as host. So preparing a table for our enemies, anointing my head with oil, cup overflows. But really, the break that I saw that I wanted to call out was the you, when David starts calling God by you versus he. And so the first three verses, he says he, the last three verses, he says you. And that's really where he starts talking about the hard stuff, you know, being in the valley of the shadow of death. And so, that's where I got the whole concept of God running into the valley. I actually spent some time with a group of guys in Montana where that was the theme for that week. We talked about having valley runners in our life. And so that was in the back of my mind, but reading through these verses, it really came out that God really is our valley runner. He runs to us in times when we're undergoing valley seasons.
Bob, would love to hear your thoughts, not just on the last three verses, but just even this whole chapter itself.
Well, the whole chapter, my biggest takeaway from this series for the first two messages was the past, the present, and the future. I've always seen the break between he and you, and that's always been my takeaway for that, but all of a sudden you started talking about the past, the present, and the future. I absolutely loved that. That helped me tremendously, encouraged me greatly.
I feel like you do a great job, Bob, of embodying even just the first, all these verses, but particularly the first three, just this concept of abiding with God or resting with God. Maybe speak to that just a little bit of the significance of how God has shown you that, because you've shared before on this podcast how you very much have a part of you that is a go, doer, goal-oriented person. And so how has God kind of shifted your mind to be more, maybe how has God made you lie down in green pastures and experiencing his rest?
Well, it's been the hard seasons of life. The two major things was the death of my son, who's a missionary in India. When he died, it's been 16 years ago, that was a huge crisis for Linda and me, and that was definitely a God making us lie down in green pastures. The second was when we found out that our son was addicted to crystal meth. That was about 10 years ago. That was even worse than the death of our son, because we had closure. We had a funeral. God gave us dreams. God gave us one another. Linda and I got closer. But with James, our son that was addicted, that was a living nightmare. And it was a constant having to, I had to lie down in green pastures. But I couldn't, because even lying down, my head was just racing with bad thoughts.
Yeah, I think that's so indicative, Bob, that you said the valley is what made you lie down. So it was a crisis. It was a moment of desperation that actually brought you closer
in
your fellowship with God.
Linda and I would not be where we are today had we not gone through those experiences, because they were life-changing. They're still hurt. You know, we still think about the death. We still have imaginations about things that could go wrong, but now we know that God's got it all, because he made it all work together for good.
Yeah, let's keep talking about the valley here, particularly as it relates to these last three verses of this chapter. Jose, you kind of had four different points, realizing God is close, returning to God's comfort, regain God's confidence, and recognize God's on the chase. And so I felt like we could just kind of spend time in each of these four. I know they'll be tied together in a lot of the stories that we share, but this first idea of realizing God is close, I think something our community group talked about last night was just one of the immediate things the enemy will try to do in any valley is isolate us.
Right.
And so making us feel not only just far from God, but even far from other people, that no one would understand what I'm going through. No one truly knows how I feel. And so how, as believers, do we, how have you, just even in your own experiences, realized God is close, and maybe even remind yourself of that in times where it doesn't feel at all like he's close?
Yeah, I had to be taught it, you know, because you don't feel it. It's not something that is innate in us to recognize, oh, I'm going through a valley, God is close. It's something that I had to know is a part of God's character. It's who he is. Once you know God and that that's how he works, then when you find yourself in those valley seasons, you remember. It's a realization of, oh yeah, God is not far away. And so the question for me changed from, God, why are you doing this? To God, what are you doing and where are you in this? Because that flip helps me realize that God is not punishing me. God is not far away. I mean, even if it's a consequence of my, you know, bad actions, God's wanting to redeem me. He's wanting to forgive me. He's wanting to lead me in a process of reconciliation. God is close.
Well, all of those situations that are what we would say are trouble that happens in our life, whether it's from outside or our own doing, we have to realize that's God's way of disciplining us. And discipline is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes through trouble, but not everybody sees the trouble
right.
as discipline from God. If somebody doesn't see it as discipline, then they fail to learn the lessons in it. So the valley of the shadow of death can be an infinite number of things, but it's always trouble. It's some form of trouble.
Would you say that the valleys are God's greatest classroom to teach us
about his
love?
Well, it's like I heard somebody say, the mountaintop, there's no fruit grown on the mountaintop. The fruit is grown in the valley.
That's good.
Wow, I hadn't heard that. That's good to think about. This second part of verse 4 says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jose, I loved how you explained just even the difference between the rod and the staff. And
protection and direction.
Yes, yes. But typically you think those don't come with comfort, as far as there's other things like a blanket, or I don't know, there's other examples you could use for comfort here. But when it comes to this idea of returning to God's comfort, I think a lot of times in my experience in a valley, I usually will try, and we'll get into this in the third point here about confidence, but usually try to immediately take control, try to work myself, reason myself out of this valley, even if I didn't cause it. It's like trying to figure out, okay, how can I use my own self-will to get out of this instead of receiving God's comfort? I know we're in church and we're hearing this and we're like, okay, great. But how do I practically feel God's comfort? Because Jose, a lot of what you shared is like, we don't feel that God's close. We know God's close. How do we return to God's comfort practically? How have you done that just in your times in the valley?
Well, again, I think that this is very much connected to God's word and his promises. Because if I am choosing comfort, I mean, there's a lot of comforts that this world has to offer that provide temporary comfort. You know, you can watch a show to make yourself feel a little bit more comfortable. You can grab a drink. You can cope in many different ways. The world provides a plethora of ways to receive comfort. But the way that God provides comfort is not temporary. It's lasting. It's long lasting. It's eternal. And you think about his promises that have been proven over generation after generation in every single culture known to this world. I mean, they persevere through all of that. So if we really ask ourselves, what are we looking for? Like, what do we want in comfort? I think if we're honest, we'll get down to, we want to be protected and we want some sort of direction. We want to be led. And that's exactly what God's word does. And so it really does mean going back to God's word, returning to his word and his promises so that we can have that comfort that only God can provide.
I love the way that you put up on board I can't remember if you spoke it or if it was a slide, but the promises are past, present, and future. There are promises that have to do with our past. There are promises for the present moment, and there are promises for the future. And learning to discern the difference in those helps us stay in the present moment all the time, because that's where abiding is. Abiding is, you're not abiding today for tomorrow. Tomorrow you have to abide for then. And that's the future. But abiding is just moving along in time in fellowship with God, living in His culture, which is righteousness, peace, and joy.
Mm-hmm. I think something practically just to that point, I'm thinking, okay, how do I remember? Where do I find these promises? And how do I remember? Obviously, all in God's Word. I think even just, there definitely needs to be discernment in this, but you can Google and find out. There's like a bunch of lists and different articles that list out just a lot of, Bob, to your point, they break out the different categories of promises, and you can then go find the scripture reference and then go look that up yourself. And I know that's been helpful for me just to remember different seasons, different valleys that I'm in, just going back and recalling that, to your point about that being truth.
Yeah, and another hack is ask somebody. Ask somebody, hey, I'm struggling right now. I'm in need of some comfort. And the Holy Spirit will use other believers, other brothers and sisters in Christ to bring up, hey, you know what? God will never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, that's a one that we hear all the time, but you're not alone. You're not the only one. You're going to be okay. God's going to see you through this. We just need to hear that from other people. Sometimes that assurance. We can overdo it, where especially if we're dealing with broken, with a broken situation and a lot of sadness, we need to be careful to not overdo the promise thing, right? And say, well, the Bible says, well, maybe they just need a hug. Maybe they just need your presence. So it's a balance, but I don't think we can underestimate the power of God's Word when it comes to comfort.
Right. Our comfort is always in the present. Yeah. It's always in the present moment. And that's when we need to be aware of what somebody is going through, because if we focus on the future and don't take into consideration what the person is going through, they're not going to hear a word we say.
Yeah.
I think comfort also is something that we not only receive, but then also something that God allows us to give out. I think about Jose, 2 Corinthians, when you bring up 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, that talks about the comfort that we receive so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received. And so I know sometimes I haven't, you know, at certain points in the valley, it doesn't help to hear like, oh, God's going to use this for good, or, oh, like, you know, you're going to be able to speak to this one day. Like, I think there's a lot of just that receiving aspect of it. But to your point, Jose, there is this aspect of purpose and direction that God gives and brings us to. And so it's not just, you know, a lost cause. It's not just for nothing. And so, Bob, I think your testimony of just sharing right now, just how you aren't where you are today without having gone through the valleys that you did.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, all of them. That's what God does. He makes everything work together for good. Now, the bad things that are happening, it isn't that God made the bad things happen necessarily. What it means is that God can take what was bad, and if we turn it over to Him, He uses it in our life for something very positive.
It's amazing.
Everything that God does ends up positive. God is good all the time.
Come on. All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Bob, I love, it's inspiring, your confidence. And I think that's just a thing I notice about you, just as you share God's Word, you speak of God's faithfulness in your life and Linda's life and your family. How do we as believers continue to build up that confidence? Because I think that's something that we look at here in this third point here about, you know, He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies, that it says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And yet there are times where, whether maybe it's somebody that's new to walking with Jesus, or maybe still, you know, just in this wrestling point in the valley, and it's like, I don't have confidence, or they wouldn't want to say that out loud, but is God really going to come through this time compared to other times? So how have y'all wrestled with that and continue to grow that as a believer?
I'll just say this, Bob, you are so secure in Christ. You know who you are in Him. You have received His grace so freely, and you walk in that, and you share that with those around you so well. And I think that's where, when I see you, Bob, I see somebody that is secure in Christ, And then that gives you this confidence. It's not a boast full, I'm better than you because I've walked with Christ longer, but it's a, God is so good. He's been so good to me that I know that he will come through for me again, and I know he will come through for everybody else. And I can't get over David's story in the Bible where he is alone, he is vulnerable, and then he stumbles upon the sword that, you know, he used to kill Goliath. Obviously, he knows that was not of him. That was of God. God gave him the ability to defeat the giant. And it's the same thing in our lives. God has given us, through the power of his Holy Spirit, the ability to conquer sin and death. And it's not our doing, but our confidence is in him. And so, yeah, going back, Bob, I'm just so grateful for who you are and how you live, because it really inspires confidence in me.
Well, thank you. When it talks about God preparing a table, the food on that table is not physical food. It's the spiritual food that comes from his word. And it's like Job said, I hungered for your word more than my necessary food. In other words, the necessary food was the food that sustained him physically, but he wanted to hear the word of God. And over and over and over again, that is the key to living in the abundant life. Not only do we abide in Christ, but he says his word needs to abide in us also. Mm-hmm. And that's where the confidence comes from. It's not from me. If I'm left to my own devices, I screw things up. Yeah. I mean, I just mess things up bad. Yeah, I do it. I can do it easily. But even when I mess up, if I turn it over back over to God and say, Lord, if I repent and I have a serious time of repentance with God and go back to the Word, I always find mercy and grace.
And again, going back to David's story, I see this picture of a young shepherd boy shocked when he's called back to his dad's house. Just doing his job out there.
That's right.
And now he finds this oil being poured over his head, and he knows what that means. Oil back then was very, very a powerful symbol, which meant that you were mm-hmm. being prepared, you were being anointed, you were being called out and invested with authority. And so now this young shepherd boy is being called king. What did he do to deserve that? He knows that that's not of him. And that's, again, the power that we have in our walk, is that we have authority that's been given to us by God to walk out in confidence no matter what life throws our way. You know, in these valley seasons, we can have confidence that God will see us through.
Yeah, I think one of the questions last night in community group that I think is really something personal that we can just take away and was helpful to me to hear was this idea of, where is your confidence today? And it's just a checkup question. I love these kind of practical questions where it's like, where is your confidence today? Because I think there are times where I feel really confident, really settled, really sure about something. And then even then it's like, okay, is that because of my abilities, because of my knowledge, because of my experience in something? And so I think to that, both points y'all made, just about where is my confidence and really begin to analyze that. That could be in the mountaintops and in the valleys, just being able to be mindful of that, because it's so easy to quickly kind of, at least in my experience, drift into this idea of, yes, God, you know, my confidence initially is in God. And then I start to think, well, it's because I'm spending time with God and then I'm doing things for God. And then next thing you know, it's back to my abilities or all the things that I find confidence in. And so I think that's something that's so key. And then the only other thing I'd add is, when it comes to these moments of lack of confidence, Bob, I think the three categories you mentioned, past, present, and future, are really key here. Past, starting with, okay, where have I seen God come through? And it could be in my own life. It could be in the life of other people. It could be in the Bible. Hebrews 11 is a great way to start, and just reading through that whole thing.
Absolutely.
And then the present. Okay, where am I not at? Where is my confidence today? And then even future, looking at those promises and being like, okay, letting those minister to me, knowing that God is going to be faithful and come through here.
That's good.
The fourth point here, Jose, as we close, is recognizing God is on the chase. I love the story you shared, being foster parents and being caring for children. And there's this one guy who was running and you chased him and you got to share that story with him. I thought it was really impactful. And the example that is just of our Heavenly Father and his pursuit for us. Why does that change the game? I mean, we look at these three, realizing God is close, returning to God's comfort, regaining God's confidence. What is so significant about just this last point about recognizing God is on the chase?
What is the verse, Bob? Where can I run from your spirit? You know, there's no place. Is that Psalm 139?
Psalm 151, I think.
Yeah.
39 or 51.
Yeah, so bottom line, there's nowhere that we can go. I think Romans 8 also, there's nowhere that
nothing
we can go. Nothing can separate us, whether, you know, heavens
139.
Or 139. And so my point is that that's a truth of God. He is relentless in his pursuit. There's a mystery there, right, where we also have a choice.
Yeah.
And we can turn away from God. And that's Romans 1 type stuff that God gives us over to our sin. Again, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about if you are seeking and open to God, if you are turning to God in any way, you will meet a God who is running faster, who is looking for you, you know, who has been looking for you a lot longer. He first loved us, you know. So that's the point here is it says, surely his mercy and his goodness will follow me all the days, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I love that about our God.
As a young Christian, there used to be a term that I heard more frequently than I do now, but it was the hound of heaven.
Hound of heaven.
Yeah, have you ever heard that?
No, but it's alliteration. I like it.
Yeah, it's talking about goodness and mercy are following us. And what that, you know, when you talked about God gives people over to whatever their desire is. That's their sowing. God has a law, a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Mm-hmm. So the more they sow into the lie, God is still following them every bit of the way, waiting for them to come to the end of their foolishness, the end of their ridiculous insanity. Because when they come to that realization and say, man, this doesn't work, God is right there ready to give them all of the grace they need. Because where sin abounds, grace always abounds in a greater measure.
Amen. Amen.
So good. That is so good. Spending time with a friend this past week, and I feel like another kind of temptation or lie the enemy can whisper to us in these valleys is that we're either right back where we were years ago, or this was just like another valley, you know, in our previous time of life. And I think that just what you're talking about here of this goodness and just the fruit, remembering the fruit that God has not only carried us through, but also, you know, grown us, strengthened us. I was able just to encourage the guy and be like, hey, I see in you that you are not the same guy, you know, this past week as you were several years ago. And so I hear that just in both of y'all's stories, where recognizing the growth that only God has done, but that
That's
God has grown us, and that there is a future for us that is good and merciful for us. And it's not just, you know, we keep going in this cycle over and over again. And so I think that's something that the enemy can try to also get us stuck in, and we kind of forget that that's important. Jose, you want to close us out here?
This was a great conversation. I think if you are listening and you are in a valley, I really do pray and hope that this encourages you. And more than anything, know that you're not alone. You have a God who is with you, and we as a church, we want to walk these valleys out together.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations Podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.